On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it's the Kentucky game preview with South Carolina looking to jumpstart their offense and the women's soccer team takes on the team from the upstate. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 257 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And y'all, if you didn't know already, we are in full swing of football. You got college football is in full steam. We got full slate of NFL to look forward to Thursday, Friday, all day Sunday. It's just football heaven right now. And I mean, really, like, September is a hell of a month for a sports fan. You got football, obviously, so exciting being back. And then you have the baseball pennant races, the playoff chases, all that gearing up for the playoffs as well. So it really is just a great time to be a sports fan. And then, as we all knew already, we are also very much in full swing for South Carolina football, especially as evidenced by all over social media where you have the full Gamecock experience with everyone coming around, getting ready in their own way for the second week of the season, and we are ready to rock. So there really is no recap here from the midweek games, right? No scores to report. Men's soccer was rained out, but as I am recording this, actually, women's soccer is playing Clemson, taking on the team from the upstate, so hopefully the ladies stick it to them. I know the men played well against them, so hopefully the ladies follow suit as well. Now, there is a bunch of action from other sports this weekend, so I will recap y'all next episode there, and because of that, we're just going to be able to jump right in to the week two preview for South Carolina football, and not too dissimilar from the team who's jumping right into SEC play for better or worse, right? I mean, you look around, some of these schools like Ole Miss, Mizzou, like their first two or three games even are really not all that competitive. And on one hand, like, yeah, kind of nice, I guess you get to ramp up to where you get a quick couple easy dubs. On the other hand, you know, when you're in the SEC, I feel like generally speaking, you really pride yourself on being part of the best conference with the most competitive top to bottom league. And getting right into it like this is kind of fun. It's nerve wracking and stressful as all hell. I think most fans would say, you know, we probably could use Akron right about now, but alas, the Gamecocks are taking on Kentucky, aka Kensucky, starting at 3:30 p.m. in Lexington, so up in the Bluegrass State. This is really the latest installment of what has become a very competitive matchup between these two programs, right? I mean, going back, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years or so, maybe even more, really since Stoops has been there, it feels like. It has been close, competitive games between these programs for whatever reason that may be. But it's also the next installment of a budding rivalry, yes, between these programs and fan bases, but really between Mark Stoops and Shane Beamer, all stemming back from, you know, the culture, the climate comments, and the stupid glasses, the dancing, all that jazz. I love it. I think most people realize, like, we have moved on from that, but if you're on social media and the internet as much as I am, you know that a lot of Kentucky fans have not, you know, really given up on that. They've held on to that grudge. I know South Carolina fans, we don't particularly care for Stoops and all that jazz. We still look at Kentucky as a program that we should really be beating regularly, which, you know, knock on wood, last couple of years has gone that way. But, you know, this is really a big game for South Carolina. You know, in my season preview, so before the season even started, I had this game circled as a winnable matchup for the Gamecocks on the road, and one that would really allow the team to get ahead of schedule for getting to 6 wins on the year. And I mean, really, when you look at the schedule as a whole, it might not even be ahead of schedule. You're kind of looking at this schedule in three groups, and you certainly would love to get some wins earlier on. But after a mediocre game in the opening one, right, this game becomes even more important, if nothing else, but just from a morale standpoint. Team, fan base, state, etc. You know, we need to see a team that comes out of the tunnel in Lexington ready to play for 4 quarters of hard-fought and well-executed football. This team, these fans, and this head coach cannot be willing to accept another slow start and wait for things to come together and come to them later in the year. These guys have to go out there and take it, because if it goes sideways, all of a sudden, things are speeding up really, really quickly. So what are the Gamecocks, I almost said Gamecats, combined the two teams there. What are the Gamecocks looking at in the Kentucky Wildcats? There we go. Last year, Kentucky went 7-5, and they won last week against Southern Miss to also come into this game 1-0. Now, it's just kind of the same deal under Mark Stoops, right? Like, the theme with his teams are, they're a veteran group, both sides of the ball. They get the guys to stay in their program, develop. They've done okay in the transfer portal. They play tough. They make you earn it. They tend to not blow anybody out, right? But they have been very steady under Stoops. The Wildcats, though, are breaking in a new offensive coordinator yet again, and also a new quarterback in Georgia transfer Brock Vandegrift. If you're a college football fan, you would have known his name. Was a big-time recruit, went to Georgia, didn't get a whole lot of playing time at all, finally transfers out of there, gets his shot in the SEC, and we're going to find out what he is made of very, very quickly. Now, defensively, Kentucky returns, I think it's 8, maybe even 9 starters from last year, if I'm not mistaken. So again, sticking with this theme of a veteran group that knows their system, they did bring in a transfer running back who missed last game and will also be out this game as well. He got hurt in training camp. But, you know, this game feels like that old school SEC type of game, right? Like your father's SEC game, right? Both teams led by defenses, both teams right now, you know, not doing this high-flying, spread-them-out offense type of deal. Points will be at a premium for sure. I also think both teams are going to try and establish the run. Right now, Kentucky is favored by about 10 points. Depending on where you look, it might be 9.5, might be 10.5. And the total that I've seen is set at 42.5. So really, not very high at all. Again, playing into this, whatever you want to call it, pattern of where these two teams get together and they play close and they play low scoring, just old school football there. And, you know, I'm going to be honest here, though. And I know you're probably thinking, here comes another optimist Tim rant, right? But Kentucky plays a brand of football that South Carolina will simply be better prepared for, right? Like, they're not this gimmicky offense that's spread them out, stacked, moving lightning fast. They're not playing this bizarro, unique defense either. They play good, sound, fundamental football, but not unlike many other teams in the SEC. And because of that, I think South Carolina will be able to go into this game more prepared because that is what they practice against day in and day out. And that's what they've gone up against more regularly in games the last season and so on, right? So both coordinators will now be able to look back at their own tape. You can look at tape from last year, Kentucky. You can look at where the OC has been, I think, at Boise State, and you can see a more common brand of football, a brand of football that feels a little bit more close to home, right? Now, that, of course, doesn't excuse a bad game plan or execution or a lack of adjustment or anything like that, but I just think that when the ball is kicked off, ultimately, the guys will feel more equipped to handle Kentucky and their system. Which brings me to my crows to the game. Those of you who've been listening to me for a while know that this is what I do. Any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does that. We have our rooster crow. So I have my crows to the game here. So overall for the team, you know, I was thinking about this one. I went back and forth with a few. And I settled on have top-notch communication. After last game, multiple people cited bad communication in a few instances that led to broken plays. That cannot happen, okay? Whether the communication is from coach to player, player to coach, or player to player, everybody on the team needs to be on the same page and understanding their assignment and the situation. If it was an issue with the new helmet communication, okay, well, hopefully you ironed out some of those kinks last week and in practice now. If it's communication with offensive line, Lenoris, audibles, whatever it may be, that needs to get ironed out, okay? Got to know your signals on defense as well, just in case that helmet goes out, right? What happens if they go fast? All these things need to be top-notch. Now, on the offensive side of the ball here, my first crow to the game is South Carolina needs to rush for a combined 100 yards or more. Last year, Kentucky had one of the best run defenses in the SEC, so with so much talent returning, that could be a little bit of an ask. I think they gave up 110 or so on average last year, but last year, in this game, the Gamecocks beat Kentucky and only ran for 50 yards, and Rattler was 24 of them. Just insane, actually. So this year, if you could do something along the lines of, you know, Rocket Sanders goes for 60 or 70 yards, Juju tacks on another 15 to that, Sellers with another 15 or 20, and all of a sudden, you have a diverse run game that's moving the ball, and that's on top of other guys that can carry the rock a little bit, right? So if Carolina does this, I think it will take pressure off Lenoris a good bit. And I think that's probably what they tried to attempt last week, but it just looked off, right? It won't be easy, as Kentucky has one of the best interior defensive linemen in the country. But if this team could scrape 50 yards last year with nobody, I certainly think this team can do much better. My second crow to the game on the offensive side here is that Sellers has to be better, and he needs to throw for more than 175 yards. I normally don't get stuck on these types of numbers and things like that, but I think for this game you have to, especially based off of last week. And it's really not asking the world for him to do this, right? Like, it's not a crazy number. I think last year Spencer went for like 207. But that would show great improvement from last week and also show that this team is able to move the ball and, you know, probably getting into good drives, good rhythms, maybe into scoring position as well. Now, for reference, last week, Kentucky gave up 126 yards in the air, and the game was called after three quarters because of lightning, I believe. So if they gave up 126, it's round down, 125 in three quarters, I certainly think Lenoris in four quarters could go for 175, right? Again, not asking for a lot, but you're asking for a number that allows movement of the ball, right? Some confidence. And also, if Lenoris is able to hit that number, it probably means there are better things happening with the wide receivers, right? I'm not going to call them out as a crow here, but if you're able to move the ball like that, things are going well, hopefully. Now, my third crow to the game, not a receiver here, but a tight end. Josh Simon, he needs to be more involved in the pass game. He had one catch against ODU, and to be successful in this game, Carolina has to exploit that matchup and feed him the ball. So for those keeping track at home, my offensive crows to the game are basically do what you did well again and run the ball, but also look just like a normal passing team and move the ball well enough through the air and give it to your playmakers. Shocking, I know. Not asking for a lot. Kentucky is going to be fielding a legit defense, but they were far from impenetrable last year, okay? They were a couple, you know, they were able to get a couple of turnovers last week, but they haven't really been tested either, right? I think if Carolina can get the passing game going, again, even to look just average, it will make Kentucky have to respect that, which should open things up for Rocket and company on the ground. Now, looking at the defensive side of the ball here, my first crow to the game is be prepared for Key and Brown. These two wideouts have been consistent weapons there, and they are back to do it again. This obviously falls onto O'Donnell Fortune and the rest of the backfield to be ready. This will be a different look than what, you know, they saw last year, especially with guys going east to west a little bit. New system, communication has to be on point. My second crow to the game here is contain Vandergriff on the ground. He might not be a run-first type of quarterback, but he is someone who has the ability to run. He went for 35 yards last week. He has that ability, right? If the Gamecocks can make him one-dimensional and make him think twice about pulling that ball down, that will play into our hands very well, right? And you can do that a few ways. You can scheme that up, and you can have guys maybe spy him or things like that. You can make sure that guys don't go too wide. But also, Debo can just lay the wood on him and give him a good hit, clean hit, of course, the first time he tries, and then that makes him think twice about doing it again. My third crow to the game here is the pass rush needs to show up big again. Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart are getting all the love right now, and rightfully so, but this group is full of guys who can rush the passer. I know some of these guys might be a little banged up going into this game, but Gilbert Edmond, JT Gear, Brian Thomas Jr., you know, multiple guys are there, can rotate in. If this group can be nearly as active as they were in week one and keep Kentucky behind schedule or force them into turnovers even better, then that should help the offense in turn, but also force Kentucky to keep guys in for protection, which makes the job easier on the back end. So overall for the game here, this is as close to a must win as you can have in week two, in my opinion. Like, yes, a lot can change over the course of the year, and you can make up for some wrongs early in the year, in theory. But this team needs to show up, and they need to show up looking good, because I think either way you slice it, we are going to know a lot about our team after this game, right? Questions like, can the staff put Lenoris in a position to succeed? Does the passing game exist? Is this defense for real? Can the pass rush do it on the road against SEC? Right? So again, though, as I sit here and I think more on it, like, Kentucky is good, but they are not world beaters. I think our defensive front can handle their run game, and an improved linebacking core should help with their quick passing game that's worked for them last week. We have athletic and good corners that hopefully can slow down their top targets enough. And honestly, despite Vandergriff being an older guy, he hasn't faced a game of this magnitude as a full-time SEC starter ever. offensively, I mean, I just have to believe that Sellers will be more settled into this role in this game. I have to believe that a more traditional defensive front allows our passing game to get going, and I think our playmakers get more involved. And because it's week two, I'm going to keep believing that this team can be what we thought it might have been just a couple of weeks ago. I'm expecting a low-scoring affair in this one. Maybe Shane Beamer goes into his bag of tricks on special teams once again. And if the Gamecocks can keep it close, I like our chances. Now let's get into my six-pack of picks, and then I will get y'all out of here. The six-pack did really well last week. Screw Virginia Tech. We almost swept. That would have been electric week one. But real quick here, in the ACC, I like Georgia Tech -3 versus Syracuse. Big 12, great game here. Colorado versus Nebraska. With Satterfield and all, I'm going Nebraska -7. Big 10, Texas versus Michigan. Game of the early slot, probably. Over 42.5. SEC, I love this one here. Give me Buffalo +34.5 versus Missouri. Shout out Pete Lembo once more. Group of five, give me UTSA versus Texas State over 62.5. We want a barn burner. And then for my extra game here, Notre Dame -28 versus Illinois. I think they come out after that A&M game, ready to roll. But with that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.